From the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Bill Show. Oh, my.
It's the Bill Show.
It is the Bill Show, ladies and gentlemen. And
we're dancing on the steps.
We're dancing
on the Philadelphia Town Hall, and we're punching cow carcasses.
Absolutely, because here comes Bernie
and Rocky.
Ladies and gentlemen, I try not to be overly prejudiced. But I am, so there you go. Ladies and gentlemen,
can I be Burgess Meredith? Can I be Burgess Meredith? Can I play Burgess Meredith?
She doesn't want to hurt you. She wants to kill you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been an absolutely crazy season, Randy.
It's getting crazier.
It is.
I can't remember. Ever.
Yeah.
At maybe 1968, with all the shootings, you know, George Wallace and Bobby Kennedy and all. I can't remember a primary and election season that was this crazy.
This is amazing. I I'm so glad to have the show during this time, actually. But
well, that's why you started it in 2012.
Yeah.
When all we had was crazy mittens.
Yeah, and now...
And his dog...
And yeah. Now it's just getting crazy. Let's get to the Here Comes Bernie.
Here comes Bernie.
Ladies
and
gentlemen,
the, bird.
The results Bernie. Of the primaries this week. Oh, my God. Just when we thought he was dead, Rocky Balboa coming back. Alaska,
yeah.
81.6% to Clinton. Get this, Bernie, 18.4%.
Yeah, well, they're very conservative. I have several friends in Alaska. They're actually very conservative.
Well, I'll tell you, they're not in Alaska when it comes to Sanders. Let me go to Hawaii. 69.8% for Sanders, 30% for Clinton. And get this, Washington State, here comes Bernie, 72.7% for Sanders. And
what are they smoking in Washington
27.1% for Clinton. Let me tell you, buddy, he didn't just beat her, he decimated her. This is amazing.
Okay. All right, now, let me just quote you something that I read, okay?
Yeah.
She has 210 declared delegates ahead of him now.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is talk about the special, my fingers are doing the quotation marks, the special delegates.
The super delegates.
The super delegates, quotation mark fingers, are actually talking about, because, you know, they are free agents.
They are.
They are free agents. And they're actually saying, well, you know, maybe we aren't committed to Hillary. And, you know, maybe if we get to the convention, you know, we might be able to change our minds.
Absolutely.
So
this is not over yet. And you know what happened to me today is that the Sanders campaign has been absolutely blocked by the media. But I was sitting there watching.
Oh, yes. What do the New York Times call it? The Bernie blackout.
The Bernie blackout. But ladies and gentlemen, that Bernie blackout has lifted.
It had better because otherwise people are going to say, If you're not telling me what I want to know, I'm going to go look for it elsewhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You cannot avoid. Listen, there's literally, you can ignore a lot of things, but you can't ignore a car blowing up in your backyard. And this is what Bernie's doing.
Is that what that was?
That is the Bernie blow up, ladies and gentlemen. And I almost swallowed my lunch because out of the mouths of idiots, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, of course, I'm talking about Morning Joe on MSNBC.
Oh, your friend's Morning Joe. And look, and the birds. The birds love Bernie and the eagles hate Trump. I mean, well, people are finding Bernie stuff everywhere.
We're going to have a bit on the bird that absolutely stole the show this week.
Oh, and by the way, you mentioned Hawaii. You mean Kenya, don't you?
No, I don't mean Kenya. Don't cause trouble.
Oh, so
okay, this is, I want you to have a listen to this, Randy, because this is just amazing. This is a network, MSNBC has been doing its best to ignore Bernie Sanders for as long as it can, but then suddenly a car blew up in the backyard. And out of the mouths of babes came this absolutely incredible period of time on Morning Joe where they had to confront Bernie Sanders' rise in the last 2 weeks of primaries.
Yeah, who's
Bernie
Morning
Sanders?
Who?
But they made a point, and it's based on a Wall Street Journal editorial. Have a listen to this, guys. This is groundbreaking. Because this is the major Democratic network coming to terms with itself. Hold on. Here it is from Morning Joe just the other morning. Oh, here it is.
Mika, what Bernie Sanders did this weekend is roll up some massive victories on the West Coast.
Yes. So here's the Wall Street Journal. Bernie Sanders gets no respect. And just listen to this. Bernie Sanders won 3 Western Democratic caucuses by landslides on Saturday. And all he got was this lousy Associated Press headline. Sanders wins 3 states. Clinton holds delegate lead. The AP header is accurate, but the Vermont senator and his legions can be forgiven for wondering what he has to do to get some political respect. Mr. Sanders is showing the kind of electoral strength that gives him every right to fight on, at least through April's contest and maybe to the convention in July. For all the talk about an open convention that could deny Mr. Trump the GOP nomination, the Democratic establishment has done far more to rig the nominated process to favor elites. And I will say, he was being asked on the Sunday talk shows, are you going to support Hillary when you lose? I don't get that.
By the way, let me
add one more thing to that.
If you want to talk about it.
And by the way, head-to-head that I have seen, Bernie runs better against Trump, against Cruz, than Hillary Clinton does, not only nationally, but in states like North Carolina.
He runs better state by state. As Rick just said, he was winning by 50 and 60 points this past weekend. He's ahead in a national poll.
So is he
going to
support Hillary when he loses?
Well,
How stupid.
And that's the thing. The Democratic Party, and I know the Republican Party wishes that they rigged the process as well as the Democratic Party did right now, because they could rig it against Trump. But the Democratic Party rigs their process so these superdelegates, which, by the way, can move any direction they want, but the superdelegates actually skew the process and the reporting so badly that the voters actually don't have the say when it comes to
So this was a coronation every step of the way. You have the DNC with the debates. Let's not even start about how much they shot themselves in the foot in the debate process. You had the establishment coronating her. You had Democratic women on Capitol Hill falling in line like a click. I'm sorry, without asking for anything in return, except for Elizabeth Warren. Anything of Hillary Clinton to make this a fair election. Because Bernie Sanders is being asked of everything, and he's delivering, and we keep asking him, when you lose, are you going to support Hillary?
Yeah, it's an outrageous question.
Bill, has there been some sort of a rift in the space-time continuum?
I don't know, Marty.
Yeah. Because that didn't sound like Morning Joe and his blonde. That sounded really strange.
That sounded like Morning Joe and his hypocrisy.
Yeah, or his selective memory. He doesn't. He's talking about like Bernie. Like, you know, he's going to win in every state against Trump, and he beats Hillary. Where did you? You just pulled that out of your ass because you haven't been saying that for months and months and months.
It's been Bernie
who and Bernie
as
who.
As Mika is talking, I'm sitting there thinking. thinking, first of all, I always brace myself for a lot of shit when I listen to this show. But good when Mika's talking, yeah. And when she sits there and says, I don't understand who could have been asking questions like that. And I'm going, I don't know, you guys?
Yeah, like, who, are you going to support Hillary when you lose? When
absolutely. You lose? But this is what happens when a car blows up in your backyard.
Exactly. Well, you know.
Listen, this is from the, and I'll tell you, the cracks are showing in the establishment right now. Look at this. This is from the New Yorker. John Cassidy points out, Sanders and his supporters point out with quite a bit of justification that pundits and betting markets have underestimated him all along.
Yeah.
Before Saturday, who would have predicted that Sanders would best Clinton by 64 percentage points in Alaska, 46 points in Washington, and 40 points in Hawaii? The Sanders campaign is an impressive phenomenon, and in states like New York and California, it is still growing. While yeah. And this is a personal thing that he said, because he's a New Yorker. And he said, look, while I was out shopping 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn yesterday, I came across hundreds of Sanders supporters, almost all of them young, who had gathered to mark the opening of a local campaign office. The candidate was thousands of miles away in Wisconsin, and the results from the western states were still hours away. But a large crowd of his followers had given up their Saturday mornings to go
Saturday
out.
Saturday morning in New York? That's, you know, it's terrible.
To go out into the street and express their
support. Into the snow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look. I'll go on with this. Hillary Clinton and I agree that it is imperative that no Republican make it to the Oval Office. And this is what Sanders said, and this is what I said in the show. No matter what happens at the end of this, we're not getting Trump. Where two candidates didn't agree, he went on, was regarding who was best positioned to stop the Republicans. Now, one of our campaigns has created an enormous amount of enthusiasm and energy that will lead to a large voter turnout in November. That campaign is our campaign. If you look at all the polls, and it amused me that what we were talking about like 4 weeks ago was that Bernie just kicks the crap out of Donald Trump in every poll now. Yes. The Bloomberg poll that came out just the other day made her, this is a national poll, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, who do you like? Bernie won.
Yeah.
That's the first time he's won a general poll amongst Democrats. The longer he stays out there, the better he does.
Yes. And the thing is that the
very, very awful thing that is happening to the Clinton campaign right now, and I don't know whether Bernie will still make it, but this is what's happening. Arrogance, man. Arrogance.
What's going to happen to Deborah Schultz, your friend Deborah? What's going to happen there?
Well, I'm talking about the Clinton campaign and their attitude toward Bernie. Because
the DNC is the Clinton campaign, isn't it?
Well, the DNC is the arrogance, and Obama just endorses Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Does he really?
Yeah, Obama just said he was going to do that. But this is the one thing that...
What's she running for?
She's running for re-election, and this is the last thing that the New Yorker had to say. At this stage, even the most loyal Clinton supporter would have difficulty disputing the claims of the young voters and progressive voters that have flocked to Sanders. If Clinton does get the nomination, she will desperately need their backing. And she will also need to tap into some of that enthusiasm and commitment from the Sanders campaign has engendered. Should Donald Trump become the Republican candidate, which certainly would help unite the Democrats. But going into a general election, Clinton would want to obtain the vigorous endorsement of Sanders. And that means her campaign, even as it tries to defeat the Vermont senator, also needs to avoid alienating him, which they do at every opportunity. The arrogance
like just 2 days ago.
The arrogance of the Clinton campaign is just, they're so stupid. They're just so stupid. You know, I mean, they think they've put Bernie Sanders away, and this is what lost them the last primary. Your thoughts, Randy?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is what lost for them before, because they couldn't settle down and agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not a problem. I mean, I think Bernie, I don't think Bernie has a mean bone in his body yet. No. This whole thing, which I'm going to talk about later, about I'm not going to debate this guy again unless he changes his tone. And I'm thinking, his tone? What do you mean his tone?
Yeah, yeah.
His tone of telling the truth?
And that's the arrogance, man.
Oh,
it's like, mother, I have a debate with you. It's
fuck her.
Keep it up. Keep it up, idiot, because you are killing yourself. Even if you do win, you're killing yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what really pisses me off. You know, I will work for Hillary or I'll vote for Hillary, but you keep up this arrogance, girl, and you may not even get the nomination.
You know, it wasn't, I have to tell you, it wasn't actually her that said that.
Mm.
It was her campaign strategist. And as we know, strategists can shoot their mouths off and end up having to throw themselves on their poison pen. So that may be the case. She'll say, I didn't say that. But
yeah.
Right now, that's evil.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's actually, shut up, boy. You're done. And yeah. I have a bet for you. And this is the bet. I'm going to make a bet with
not
you
more,
and all of our listeners.
Can we just do the trading places bet? Just $1, one U.S. dollar, please.
Okay,
I can't afford these bets anymore. What were
all
the two
right,
guys?
What was
the
name
guys
of the old guy?
Called? Don Amici, and what was the other guy's name?
I'll make you a dollar bet, baby. The dollar bet is this, that now that she thinks that Sanders is gone, in the next 2 weeks to 3 weeks, she does not, unless it's at a debate in which Bernie raises it, she will not talk about regulating the banking industry. I guarantee
you. It's not going to escape her lips.
She's
from
done
now on.
Talking about it. All that liberal shit she spooned out
really?
Before Arizona. Oh, no. That she, because, well, we're going to have a bit of a.
His tone is anti-Wall Street, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is that she's not anti-Wall Street. And I'll tell you why. Because
is that his tone that she's talking about?
I think that they're a little thin-skinned because they think that Bernie's being too aggressive. This is a primary campaign, honey, and you've gone around misrepresenting Sanders' positions and being just. If anything, the conduct of the Hillary campaign is absolutely just drives me insane.
But Bill, her songbook was written in 2008.
Now, yeah, and she lost.
Yes, but I've heard her three times saying, "I'm not going to do that again."
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going for the super delegates.
Yeah,
which is how Barack won. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm not going to play Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah.
Her songbook was written, 8 years ago.
Well, Barack didn't pull out till June, and they were hassling Bernie to get out now. Listen, I'm going to tell you exactly what Hillary's up to.
He didn't pull out at all. I mean, he went to the convention. She went to the convention.
She did, but she didn't pull out until June. She didn't stop her because suspend her campaign until June.
Yeah.
You may wonder what the hell. First of all, I have this little bird story that I want to do a little later on.
I'm wondering when the bird was going to make
the
an appearance.
The bird is definitely the word.
Do we have any music from Alfred Hitchcock? You know, Bernard Herrmann for the birds. Please.
The popular thing is. Well, we'll do the bird story now. I'll tell you the popular thing right now, ladies and gentlemen, is the bird is the word. Here is the song right now. Bird is a word. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have video here, but this was probably my favorite bit. Rachel Maddow did a little bit on the little bird that nested on Bernie's podium at in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
And I have to just play you this clip from the Rachel Maddow show, which she talks a little bit about the bird incident.
The bird is the word, yeah.
The bird is the word. This is, and by the way, you know something? Did you see? You saw the clip. You know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love his reaction to it. I think it's just in a kind of cynical world. His smile during that, I fell in love with him again. I just love the guy.
But you know what? The thing I love the best is somebody's done a GIF where they've put that together with the eagle attacking Trump. So Bernie's got this cute little sparrow coming in, and probably from the Bundy blind. In Eastern Oregon.
Oh, right. And,
it's probably the only surviving bird. So and then it's got this eagle attacking Donald Trump.
That's
and I'm thinking, that's brilliant.
Well, that's a very knowledgeable eagle, you see. but you know, there was my friends who are a couple of them are Bernie files, and I posted it on Facebook, and she said, I love my Disney princess candidate.
A whole new world.
Yeah, she's just getting new Bernie world gets up every Bernie morning and the sparrows and fly and they nest on his house dress.
Was it Snow White? No, Cinderella. Yeah, the birds okay. are going to stitch together his inaugural gown. Yes.
Absolutely, that's right. You couldn't get more cute. Here it is from the Rachel Maddow Show. This is their clip on Bernie and the Bird right here on The Bill Show, number 143.
I hereby guess that today's story of this alleged Republican sex scandal already has grossed you out. And so, because I want us to be friends, because it's Friday, because I'm in a nice place, San Francisco, as a little palate cleanser, as a little digestive relief before we get into those uglier stories, tonight let's do ourselves a little favor and just start with something adorable.
I grew up in a family without a lot of money. My parents never went to college. I want every kid in Oregon and Washington and Vermont to understand that if he or she does their schoolwork seriously, does well, takes school.
What? Now, you see, this little bird doesn't know it. I think there may be some symbolism here. I know it doesn't look like it, but that bird is really a dove asking us for world peace. No more wars.
Senator Bernie Sanders today, manifestly delighted by a little bird.
Yes, the bird is definitely the word, Randall. Are you making bird noises?
No, that's the bird. That's Bernie's bird.
That's Bernie's bird.
Yeah.
It's saying liberate the 99%.
Yeah.
It's a communist bird, Randall.
No,
it's a socialist bird.
No, it's the bird. It's the only surviving bird from the refuge in Eastern Oregon.
That's true. Yes, the Bundy
because
branch.
The Bundy people shit everywhere, and
they shut up the birds. Hey, listen. One of the things I did want to talk about while Bernie was out on the
hustings. Whatever the hustings are, yes. He was there.
Being a Disney princess.
A whole new world for you.
While he was doing that, I thought to myself, what is Hillary up to? Is she out there talking to the common man? No. For the last 2 weeks, Hillary has been very, very busy. Now, if you look on her website, it tells you exactly what she's been up to. And I'm not saying anything, but listen, Bernie Sanders does not do fundraisers. This is what Hillary has been up to in the last 2 weeks. And this is the arrogance that I'm talking about. Instead of being out there talking to regular people,
she's selling $10,000 a plate dinners.
Oh, it's obscene, man.
Run by George Clooney. What'd you get for $10,000?
On April 28th, you can go to Cooking with John Pedestal, who's some Democratic bigwig from the DNC, on April 28th, and it only costs you $1,000 a plate.
Is that all?
That's it. That's a bargain, man.
That's a bargain.
If you're March 28th, you can go to Conversations with Hillary in New York. And if you want to have a conversation, Hillary, it's going to cost you $1,000.
Yeah.
If you
and how much
have,
to get a picture taken with the cardboard cutout?
Thank you. If you get in a photo with Hillary, it costs you $2,700.
And less for the cardboard cutout.
Yeah. And less for the cardboard cutout. Evening with Hillary, which brings up so many possibilities. March 30th, New York, $2,700 per person. Hillary with Forrest Whitaker, the actor, which, by the way, I think is a good sitcom. Boston.
Oh, yeah. I've got my eye on you.
I've got my eye on you.
Is that the Forrest Whitaker comedy
that's
show?
That's the Forrest Whitaker sitcom.
And your answer is, which one?
From the producer of Friends. to be a friend of Hillary
You're
and
disgusting.
Forrest.
You're disgusting. Yeah.
From the be a friend of Hillary costs you $1,000. To be a champion with Hillary, it'll cost you $2,700. $2,700 being the biggest amount an individual can donate at one time.
If you meet me on the corner of 44th,
don't go there, man.
I'll buy you a hot dog and a knish.
We'll talk
politics. How's
that's
that?
Bernie. Washington, March 31st, you can be a friend for $1,000, a champion for $2,700. But then again, of course, if you're a young professional, it only costs you $250 a plate. This is the big one, though, that we're talking
what's
about.
The big
one? If you want to have a dinner with you and your wife with George Clooney and Hillary Clinton, it'll cost you, drum roll, please, $353,000.
I don't even want to have dinner with my wife for $3.
Now, here's the difference between Bernie and Hillary.
Willie, that's 300. That's not just obscene.
That is disgusting.
Is it on the banks of Lake Como where Clooney and
I have no idea.
And his wife live? I mean, I'd love to have dinner with her. She sounds smart lady.
This is why, you know, I mean, we get criticized for pointing this out every time by Hillary people. But listen, man, who's your constituency? These people have real money. And they are going to be constituents that Hillary spends time with and is accountable to. I'll give you a comparison. Bernie does no fundraisers. He has not done one. For the second straight month, with all no fundraisers, Sanders has relied on small donors to outraise Hillary Clinton, raking in, wait for it, folks, $14 million more in February, according to numbers released Sunday by the Federal Election Commission.
More than her.
That's right. Sanders has now received $77 million from those giving less than $200, while Clinton has received $32 million for the same category.
Well, you and I have chipped in $50 or something.
Absolutely. I've done it twice. Sanders has now received more in small contributions than even Barack Obama had at this point in 2008, according to Michael J. McGibbon, the executive director for the Campaign Finance Institute. It's a bald-faced comparison between the two campaigns. And again, she's just tone deaf, man. She doesn't get it.
Does he, like 11,000 people in Oregon, does somebody at least stand at the door with a bucket?
Yeah, it's like that, man.
Do they? Because if there was a bucket at the gate after seeing Bernie, I'd empty my pockets. That's just,
sure you would. Yeah. And people are doing that. It's like a Frank Capra film. It really is. Because
exactly. And he's Jimmy Stewart.
He's Jimmy Stewart.
There's a bird. Clarence, there's a bird.
Okay, well, listen, I wanted to go on very quickly because, of course, this is a very long show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our new segment, Dealing with the Republicans, and here's the intro.
You are the single biggest liar.
Donald, you're a sniveling coward.
And now it's time for the Bill Show's Battle of the Assholes.
Hey,
Yes, Randy, it's Battle of the Assholes.
They're everywhere. They're everywhere. I'm being attacked by the assholes.
Oh, my, my, ladies and gentlemen. It is Battle of the Assholes. And it's like a Michael Bay film, really.
Yeah.
What has been happening in the Republican campaign is the most disgraceful piece of shit I have ever seen in my fucking life.
And there's only two of them left, right? Kasich is gone?
Well, no, there's Kasich, there's Cruz, and then, of course, is the amazing asshole himself, yeah. Trump.
Donald Trump.
Let me read this from the news this week. The race between the leading GOP candidates has devolved into a manly contest of who can defend his wife in the vicious world of politics.
It's dick this swinging. Week, it's dick swinging 101. Yes,
it is. It's penis swinging 101. This week, Trump claimed he had some dirt on Cruz's wife. The Republican frontrunner fired back at an attack ad in support of Cruz that used a nude photo of Trump's wife, Melania Trump, and threatened to spill the beans on Cruz's thing. Okay, let me tell you exactly what happened. The first situation. Yes,
she looks
that's
lovely.
Exactly
she looks
is.
Lovely in a pearl necklace, doesn't she?
She does. She does. Listen to it. Basically, Cruz being, and he's a nasty piece of work. But he basically.
Well, you cannot say that about me.
He circulated a nude photo, which, by the way, if you're 18 and you ask me whether I want that to be our next first lady, I would go, yeah, bitchin'. But
hey, listen, this is the guy that said when he was in college he wanted to be in a titty flick.
Oh, and yeah, absolutely.
I had to look that up. What's a titty
flick? He's a complete and utter sleazebag. Both of them are.
Yeah.
It featured an image of the GQ photo shoot with the caption, "Meet Melania Trump, your next first lady, or you could support Ted Cruz on Tuesday." Now, Cruz's campaign wasn't behind the ad, but Trump took it personally. And I'll tell you something, Randy. No one out-assholes Donald Trump.
No.
You're just a sleazebag. You're a sleazebag, so, Donald.
This is what Trump put out. Trump put out a picture of a very unflattering picture of Cruz's wife next to a portrait of Melania. And in the meme, it says, "No need to spill the beans on your wife. A picture is worth 1,000 words.
Yeah.
By the way, spill the beans is also a term used in
you're
porn.
Saying it's a euphemism for, the money shot. Yeah, you're saying it's a euphemism for the money shot. I just thought it's not true. Spilling the beans is just having a secret and letting it out.
Oh, he knows exactly what it means.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what it means. Now, while campaigning through Wisconsin, Cruz did not shy away from addressing the feud in his stump speech. He said, "Real men don't attack women." We can call Trump a sniveling coward.
You're a sniveling coward, Donald.
Yes. And this is how juvenile it started up. Trump twittered back, "I didn't start the fight with lion Ted Cruz over the GQ cover pic that of Melania. He did. He knew the pack was putting it out, hence lion Ted," which, by the way, it's a piss poor nickname for him. But this is really what I really was interested in is that Trump also... Then right away, the National Enquirer released a report that Trump had 5 mistresses. Count them, 5.
Yeah.
Which brings us up to the absolutely, a really awful thought. Somebody has had sex or allegedly had sex with Ted Cruz.
His wife twice. I'll guarantee
because
it.
The idea of that. It puts a shit stain on your brain like you will not believe. The idea of Ted Cruz copulating with anything that isn't a reptile is really disturbing. But I went and looked and I said, okay, I bet you Trump's behind this. And sure enough, Trump also attacked Jeb Bush's wife. Early on in the election cycle,
no!
Early on in the election cycle, Trump went after then rival Jeb Bush's wife, Colin Bina, retweeting the follower that had said Bush must like Mexican illegals.
Yeah,
of course,
I
Bush's wife,
that.
Bush wife is a Mexican. And then refused to apologize to Anderson Cooper. No, I don't regret it. If my wife were from Mexico, I think I would have a soft spot for people from Mexico. I've heard she's a lovely woman, by the way.
Yeah.
Now, let's take a look at the relationship that Donald Trump has with the National Enquirer. An October exposé in New York Magazine
In case people don't know, that's the newspaper you see when you're checking out at the supermarket.
That's right. That's the alien. The aliens took my dog.
I had an alien babies, yeah. my anal implant is still under warranty, that sort of thing, yeah.
Oh, you've read the last issue. Good.
Yeah.
That's right. An October expose.
You can be sure if it's Westinghouse.
Yes, you can. An October expose from the New York Magazine details Donald Trump's close personal relationship with the National Enquirer. The article claims that Trump campaign provided information that was used in a hit piece against Ben Carson when the two were neck and neck in the Republican primary polls. At key moments during the GOP primary, the Enquirer has helped boost Trump's campaign by attacking his rivals, fawning over him. Yeah. 2 weeks after Trump launched his campaign in mid-June, the Enquirer reported that Jeb Bush was involved in the illegal drug trade in Florida.
Wow. In
and that as governor, he was plagued by sleazy cheating scandals.
Oh, no!
A Jeb. Playboy bunny turned lawyer.
Jeb!
In September, Jeb!
Jeff.
Well, we know he was awake at one time. In September, the Enquirer published an unflattering photograph of Bush's adult daughter, apparently taking cigarette breaks at her office. The article hit just days after Jeb told Americans they needed to work longer hours. Carly Fiorina was also slimed after the former Hewlett-Packard CEO bested Trump in the second GOP debate last month. The Enquirer ran an article headlined, Home Wrecker Carly Fiorina Lied About Daughter. Trump and David Pecker, what a lovely name for this guy. Yeah. Trump and Enquirer CEO David Pecker have been friends for years. Well, you know,
the National Enquirer is owned by Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, but the CEO, his guy's named David Pecker.
Close
buddies.
He only does what Rupert tells him.
Oh, well, they all do what Rupert tells him.
Yeah. So if Rupert's saying, let's give Trump some promotion, they'll do it.
Yeah, and they've been in Trump's. They've been the handgun in Trump's arsenal. What really bothers me about this is that Trump is literally a sociopath. It's not about the country. It's about him. He has to come out on top of everything. It's all about him.
Yeah.
And he is willing to do anything. Now, I find myself defending Heidi Cruz, but you know what? She doesn't deserve this shit. She absolutely doesn't. When I said in the last couple of broadcasts ago that Trump's wife was a trophy wife, she is.
Yeah.
Okay. She is a trophy wife.
Those plastic tits, which appeared on the cover of GQ
in
2000, that's like 16 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
You can hardly say that was an expose.
Nah.
Those pictures have been around forever.
Those pictures have been around forever. So, I mean, listen, what I just find that this has gotten to the point where literally it amazes even me. So hang on. It's going to be a bumpy ride. So, listen, we're going to take a break
Let's take a break.
Very, very long first segment.
Ooh,
I'm going to have a little Bill Maher for you. Then it's time once again for
Randy's Rant.
We'll be back with more of show 143 in just 1 minute.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Now, here comes the music.
And finally, new rule, Hollywood has to remake Sophie's Choice. But this time, it's about the current battle for the Republican nomination. And Sophie's horrible choice isn't that she can't save both her children. It's that one of them has to live.
Thank you.
Now, I know that picking between Donald Trump and Ted Cruz is driving Republicans crazy. Mitt Romney got so angry today, he punched the wall and yelled, "Fudgicle." I almost feel bad for Republicans, although not really, because they did it to themselves. Jesus, you guys started out with 17 candidates, and somehow you wound up with Mussolini and Joe McCarthy. In recent weeks, Republicans have even been coming up to me on the street or at a party or in an airport restroom and, and saying, "Bill, give me a hand." They say, sure, Trump and Cruz are both despicable ass clowns, but which one is less awful? Glad you asked, I say, because there always is a more correct choice. And I'm not just saying this to my Republican friends. I'm saying this to liberals, too. Hillary Clinton is not a sure thing. You need a fallback besides suicide in Canada. Somebody's got to stay here and eat all this kale. So let's look at the differences, and there are real and important ones between Cruz and Trump. They're not the same. Comparing them is apples and orange. Donald Trump is like Ebola. He'll violently kill you right away. Cruz is more like the Zika virus. We won't see the damage until future generations. Donald Trump wants to build a wall to keep out creepy foreigners. Ted Cruz is proof we need it. Ted Cruz has a daughter who doesn't want him to touch her. Whereas Donald Trump's daughter is fine with it. He said it, by the way. He said it. But perhaps the most important difference between the two men is this. Donald Trump is the most thin-skinned person in human history and reacts to the smallest slight with the hair-trigger wounded ego of a male flight attendant. Whereas Ted Cruz is immune to insults because he's learned to live in a world where everyone, everywhere, has always hated him. Vaudevillians used to say they were born in a trunk. Ted was born stuffed in a locker. Like a growing number of Republicans, Lindsey Graham publicly supports Cruz even as he mentions that Ted makes his skin crawl. It's sort of like when they ask a gay actor to kiss a woman. They'll do it, but only because it's their job. In fact, it's exactly like that. And then there's Trump, whose three main endorsers are Sarah Palin, Chris Christie, and Ben Carson. Or as I call them, Catty, Fatty, and Batty. So that's it, Republicans. I feel your pain. You're stuck between a rock and a gross place. The house of asshole or the house of douchebag? Team werewolf or team vampire? Verizon or AT&T? But we have to accept that being a grown-up means hard choices between disgusting options. You have to decide. We all have to decide. So let me just say, in the choice between Trump and Cruz, I foursquarely choose Ted Cruz. That's right. My choice is Ted Cruz, because here's the deal breaker with Donald Trump. He's a lunatic. If a non-rich or non-white person said the things he says, they wouldn't put him in the White House, they'd put him in Bellevue. We can't make a crazy person commander-in-chief. There are actual job requirements. It's not like Mardi Gras Parade King. Do I think President Trump would actually disappear people? No, but I can't rule it out. With him, I can't rule anything out. What does he do on day one? Send Megyn Kelly to Guantanamo Bay? Or me? He's already sued me. The president signs off on a kill list every day and sends out the drones, and I like going outside. So, yes, Ted Cruz will be our worst president, but Donald Trump might well be our last, which is why I say, better dead than Ted.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's that song again, which means it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time now for Randy's Rant. Randy!
Well, I'm sick and tired, I'm not going to take it anymore!
I understand.
That's where this started. I'm not necessarily ranting this time.
Yeah.
I'm just a little perturbed.
Okay.
Because I think...
Share with us.
Even in this election campaign, why mm-hmm. are conservatives still trying to stick it to Barack Obama?
I can't think why. I think it's his height.
I don't know.
I think it's his height.
You think it's force of habit?
No.
These people are... my father still calls him O'Dumber and stuff like that. I mean... The guy's got another year to run. I mean, give him a break. Yep. He's done really, really well.
Bernie?
Okay, here's some of the things.
Randy, he's still black.
Yeah?
That really pisses them off.
Yeah, he hasn't got rid of that yet. Yeah. But they still all, a lot of them still went for Ben, who said, Dr. Ben. Ben Carson. Who said he's not black enough to be black.
No.
I never understood that. Anyway, okay. This guy, he recently did something that hasn't been done for over 80 years. He went to Cuba and he met with Raul Castro, the president, and he sort of said, let's be friends. It's been since 1959. Yeah. We're neighbors. Yeah. We've got a lot of Cubans living with us. Let's bury the hatchet. I mean, they buried the hatchet long ago with Vietnam.
Yeah.
They buried the hatchet long ago with other places in which they've had wars. Why can't we bury the hatchet with Cuba?
And by the way, the cheer squad just came out of here. They want to give Obama a cheer for Cuba. So, come on, cheer squad. Here we go.
Come on. I'm fixing post cheer squad. Thanks, kids.
There they are.
Okay.
I think that was amazing. You're right.
Here's some of the things that they are. It was groundbreaking. Yet everybody criticized him. He then went to Venezuela, Argentina,
yeah.
With whom they have not had terrific relationships with. But it's maintaining that old Monroe Doctrine thing that you don't mess around in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Without messing around with America. Now, that's 200 years old, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That edict.
Yep.
Now, there was a picture taken of him at a ceremony, and on a building way the hell in the distance, there's a picture of Che Guevara.
Real.
Che Guevara, the one that's on about 50 million T-shirts,
yeah, yeah.
Stuff like
Go
that.
Go to any rock concert.
The kind of like the happy face with a beret.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay? Now, conservatives went... ballistic. Obama is being photographed in front of an image of a communist revolutionary,
yeah,
and everything like that.
Yeah, well, he's a commie. You didn't know that.
The conservatives hate that.
Yeah.
In the meantime, somebody put out pictures of Nixon with Cho Enlai in front of a portrait of Mao Zedong.
Yeah.
George Bush in front of a statue of Ho Chi Minh.
Yeah, yeah.
George W. Bush, H.W. Bush, the father, throwing up in somebody's lap in China.
Yes, I know. I remember that.
Ronald Reagan in front of a bust of Lenin. I mean, nobody got batshit crazy over that. Why are you doing that for poor Barry? Leave Barry alone.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, here's another one for you. He goes to Argentina.
Yeah.
You know, the home of Evita, everything like yeah. that. And he's at dinner.
Yeah.
And there's a tango couple are doing an exhibition, a tango.
Yeah.
And totally unbeknownst to everybody, the girl went and asked him to stand up, and the guy went and asked Michelle to stand up to do a little bit of tango. At first, he says, no. But they talked him into it. He got up, and he quitted himself quite well.
Of course he did.
Doing a tango for a few minutes. They went ballistic. There's been a bomb in Brussels 2 days ago, and you're dancing a tango in Argentina?
Well, what the fuck was he supposed to do? Really? Seriously, I mean,
really, man? Ronald Reagan, 180 Marines were blown to smithereens in the barracks in Beirut. Yeah. And he went out and played a round of golf.
Oh, yeah. George W. Bush, Katrina, man. Yeah, he was on vacation.
He was on vacation during Katrina. So anyway, I cannot believe. You remember we were talking about the hypocrisy?
Yeah.
Well, it's just come out in spades. I've got a little clip here of them criticizing criticizing Barry for dancing the tango. Let's have a listen to that.
Okay, here it is on Randy's Rant.
President Obama is coming under fire for dancing the tango at a state dinner in Argentina. Obama dances while Brussels burns, screams one headline, with more outrage on the cable news shows.
I'm not so sure he should be doing that when everybody else is worried about where ISIS is.
I think it was a shameful, shameful, disappointing moment for President Obama.
Obama was caught by surprise when the dancer invited him to tango, but he got into it. The First Lady was on the dance floor, too. Obama has already been criticized by former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani for attending that baseball game in Cuba on the day of the Brussels attacks.
It's outrageous that the President of the United States is not in the Situation Room right now planning to destroy ISIS.
And this just-released clip shows Obama appearing on a popular Cuban TV comedy show playing dominoes.
How have you enjoyed your trip to Cuba?
Oh, it's been excellent. You know, the people have been wonderful. The food has been excellent.
The president defended his decision to continue his state visits at a news conference in Argentina.
So it's important for the U.S. president and the U.S. government to be able to work with people who are building and who are creating things and creating jobs and trying to solve major problems like climate change.
Oh, Randy, now, what a bunch of douchebags. Jesus Christ.
I mean, and what a great guy he is to even go on to a local comedy. I'd love to see that comedy show. And because I think that's the kind of thing that makes me proud of a political leader who is able to become popular. He's not just waiting for the next situation so he can bomb somebody or kill somebody.
Yeah.
The dancing the tango, he's a good sport. He's always been a good sport.
Yeah.
And, okay, the last one. Now, this is embarrassing. Whenever I read something that I don't quite believe, especially when my father sends it,
okay.
I always go to a website called Snopes.com, S-N-O-P-E-S.
Yep.
They are the debunking website, and they're pretty good. They rarely get it wrong.
Okay.
This week, however, they had to go on and debunk a story from The Onion because people on the internet believed it. Now, the story was
yeah.
It was a headline and a photo that claimed hundreds of Cubans had clung to the wings of Air Force One in an attempt to come back to the U.S., along with President Obama, in the wake of his historical Cuban trip. Well, they would have ended up in Argentina anyway. It doesn't matter. Anyway, you'd think that social media users would know that the Onion was the Onion, yeah. But apparently they didn't. It became a total urgent legend. And there was a huge influx of emails from confused readers. And so they actually had to go on and say, this is a hoax.
That I now, saw that photo, man.
Have you seen the picture of people falling off and sitting on the top like a Bombay suburban train? Oh. I mean, it's totally
photoshopped. And it's like, you have got to be a class A dumbass.
Apparently America has got a lot of class A dumbasses.
Jeez,
because they
man.
Believed that picture. Anyway, on the 23rd of March, Snopes.com came out and said, you are all fucking idiots. Oh, dear, I'm sorry. I had to put that in because I think that just shows how gullible people are when there's something about Obama.
Well, no, if they could blame global warming on Barack Obama, they would.
They blamed Katrina, and he wasn't even president.
You know, and I'll tell you something, man. I got to say this. It's the same thing I always say. I don't agree with Obama on a lot of things, but I'll tell you something, man.
He is a good sport, and he's an intelligent man.
He's an intelligent guy, and he can dance the fucking tango. Can you imagine what would have happened if W was there? Jesus Christ.
No! He would have thrown up in somebody's lap and said, oh, I've got a bad tamale. Was that his father or was that him? No, it was his father.
His father was. I think that if Al Pacino was there doing his scent of a woman thing, he would probably have this to say to the Republican Party.
What a man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place. Fuck you too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hoo-ah!
So, yeah. Well, the tango is an incredibly sensuous thing. And what's the version, the French version, where he smacks her around and drags her around the room? That's a type of a dance as well.
Yeah.
And
that's what Ted Cruz does.
That's what
Saturday
Ted Cruz
nights.
Would like to do, yeah. He beats up Heidi and drags her around the room. But she has to wear a short black skirt,
yeah.
Cut up the thigh,
yeah.
A red and white striped t-shirt,
yeah.
a beret, and a scarf around her neck to hide the bruises from where he strangled her. I'll have to look up what that kind of dance is called, but yeah, it's like a tango. Okay. Now, what are we doing now?
Okay, well, that's, unless you have anything else, folks, that is...
No, Randy's rant.
Randy's rant for episode 143. Listen, we're going to be right back because, folks, we're ending with some fantastic tinfoil hats, so don't you dare go away.
Teachers aren't in it for the money. They aren't in it for the fame. They don't teach to better themselves. Teachers are the cultivators of our future. They are the men and women who kneel so that America's children can stand on their shoulders. They work to find the potential in every child so that every student can find potential in themselves. They raise doctors, lawyers, police officers, firefighters, and presidents. They teach because they believe in their students, because they care about the future, and students are the future.
Hi, beautiful. It's Sarah. Look at this, another election year. Can you believe it? A lot of people urge you to vote. That's not what this video is. If you vote or not, that's not my business. I'm not your mommy. Though, like your mommy, I have a completely full bush. Anyway, this video is for those of you who are thinking of voting. It's important that you treat your vote as something valuable because it is. It's so valuable. Candidates literally spend billions of dollars trying to get your vote. Hillary had always been my choice. I'm a feminist. Democratic woman president? Yes, please. But she takes a lot of money from big corporations and banks, the very people she says she's going to stand up to. And look, I accepted it because I saw it as a necessary evil, as the way it is. Every politician takes money from big money ever since it was made legal with Citizens United. It's not right, but it's legal. It's legalized corruption. If all the ball players are taking steroids, then you have to take steroids too to compete, right? I'm not against Hillary. I met someone I have more in common with. And his name is Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is this senator from Vermont who miraculously has not and will not take money from super PACs. Where all the other candidates are getting gigantic sums of money from billionaires in an unspoken but inevitable exchange for favors and influence over policy, Bernie is not for sale. This man is running for president on a platform that is just a giant fuck you to the above-the-law billionaire class who have been controlling government policy with their money and not paying a nickel in taxes through government loopholes they secure with said money. Bernie is running on a platform of overturning Citizens United and making the untouchably rich accountable for their fair share of taxes. You know, so like, all of America's children can have good education and healthcare, not just the rich. Education and health as a right, not a privilege, not charity, as every American citizen's right. So this is where you scream, but he's a socialist! Yeah, he is a socialist Democrat. Now let me explain what that is. He's a Democrat. He just believes that people who don't have the same advantages as you and me should be given the same advantages as you and me. Good Lord, don't worry. Under President Sanders, you can still become a super rich asshole. It's just that your fellow hardworking citizens don't have to feed their children cat food in order for you to do it. Do you like firefighters? Is that something you like to have around? That's socialism. That's a socialized program. It's a program that the government pays for so that everyone can have it. Not anti-American. In fact, it's wildly American. So now you say, but is this achievable? It's pie-eyed. It's unrealistic. A lot of people have said that. And those people are wrong. Because without taking a penny from super PACs, corporations, or special interest groups, Bernie Sanders raised over $100 million from over 5 million individual donations from human people, averaging $27 each. And with that, he proved that what is right can also be possible. He's proven that Citizens United is not a necessary evil. It's just evil. Free college for every American, quality healthcare for every American, raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, a livable wage. He believes that people who work a 40-hour week shouldn't be below the poverty line. Who could be against that? Oh, I know. U.S. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who has voted against raising the minimum wage 17 times, yet voted to give himself and his Senate colleagues a raise 6 times. All right, I have a couple final points, and then as Kanye says, I'ma let you go. A lot of people will vote for Hillary because they don't think Bernie can win. That is what my shrink would call a self-fulfilling prophecy. All you have to do is look at his track record. He's been on the right side of history every single time. Many of these stands Bernie took were unpopular at the time. In fact, Hillary voted in direct opposition to every single one. He voted for those things not because someone who funneled money into his campaign asked him to. He voted for those things because he believed they were right, and history has proved him right every time. I want a president with that kind of vision, that kind of foresight, that sense of right and wrong. I think this is a once-in-a-lifetime candidate who genuinely represents the interests of people, not as a stance, but as a core belief, as his guiding principle. All right, that's my spiel. Thanks for hearing me out, and just don't be suckered into a rigged American Dream Ponzi scheme that was never intended to include you. Vote. Go with friends. Make it fun. I'm voting for Bernie, but just vote for Bernie.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that song again that tells us it's time to listen to the news and commentary we here at The Bill Show listen to because we hate our own heads. It is our tinfoil hat segment this week. Basically, Randy, you've got one from the Hillary campaign. I have a classic.
I'm waiting for yours. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is, by the way, one of our true absolute favorites here on the Bill Show is, of course, the mystical ravings of Glenn Beck.
Oh, Glenn.
This is an actual thing with Glenn Beck, where he sits in, I kid you not, the video is available on Right Wing Watch. He sits in a phony presidential chair on a set that's a phony Oval Office.
Yeah.
It obviously constructed in Glenn's backyard.
He just went to either the studio of the West Wing or House of Cards, and it's already set up. Yeah.
You know what Glenn Beck has reminded me of is Rupert Pupkin from the Scorsese film where De Niro plays the guy who hosts a talk show downstairs in his bed. Mom, shut up! I'm recording. So here is Glenn Beck,
or it's the two guys in Aurora, Illinois.
Yeah, that's right. It's Wayne's World.
What's their names? The two idiots.
Wayne's World. So party on, ladies and gentlemen, because Glenn Beck is going to tell you why Ted Cruz has been anointed by God. This is some crazy shit, but it is, of course, our crazy Mr. Glenn Beck.
But then he says, but God has not revealed Ted Cruz as the divinely anointed alternative either. To you, Dr. Kidd, to you, God hasn't revealed Cruz as divinely anointed. I understand that, and I respect your opinion on it. But here's mine. I have seen this man's life. I have watched this man. I have prayed about this man. I have prayed about it by myself, out loud, in quiet, with my family, with my staff. And I happen to believe that Ted Cruz actually was anointed for this time. Would there not be someone that was in the pool that might have the right qualifications for God? Is he that disinterested in all of us? Or is it perhaps possible that just like in the Bible, people were raised from birth for a specific time? Are we that inconsequential, Dr. Kidd? Are we really not important enough for him to raise someone up at this critical juncture?
Yes, Glenn Beck.
I'm sorry. I just threw up a little bit there. God, that was disgusting.
That's all right.
Let me just clean up.
Glenn Beck once again proving why he sits alone at parties in the corner.
Isn't this a guy? Didn't he have a nervous breakdown or a brain tumor last year?
Yeah.
I don't think they got rid of it all, you know?
How would you know?
is ridiculous. Talk about it, separation of church and state. There was state. There was no state in that statement.
No, there was no
state.
It was
just Munt. Yeah.
Listen, Randy, one of our favorite people is Francis Langham.
I thought I was your favorite person.
Well, no, you're definitely my favorite.
Blue Gal's a favorite, yes.
Blue Gal is a favorite of mine. And by the way, if you have a chance, I want you all to listen to The Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal.
Yeah.
Fantastic podcast, and has been very supportive to this podcast.
Absolutely.
But she wrote something that is, and she is a Christian. She's a graduate of Harvard Divinity School. And she wrote this for Crooks and Liars about whether or not Ted Cruz is a Christian. So let me just read this to you.
I thought he was a Canadian.
I don't know. He's a Canadian, but he ain't no Christian. Those of us who follow our traditional Christian calendar are currently on the sixth day of Lent, a time of reflection and self-examination as well as self-denial. I've been reading an excellent series on Lent and social justice published by the Jesuit sponsored Ignatian Solidarity Network. Their examination of Matthew 25 inspired this post. Matthew 25 says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food." Cruz plays huge politics with the food stamp program, not only dissing it for creating a culture of government dependency, but also propping up the lie that illegals get benefits from government food aid. Cruz said that if he becomes president, he will end welfare benefits for those here illegally, which don't exist. He flip-flopped on subsidies to factory farms in time for the Iowa caucuses. "I was thirsty and you gave me drink." Ted Cruz blamed, now get this, the Flint water crisis on far left Democrats.
Of course.
The Cruz campaign donated bottled water to an anti-choice crisis pregnancy center in Flint.
Yeah, you could only come there if you don't have an abortion.
Yeah, to demonstrate his pro-life values with Senator Cruz. Matthew 15 also says, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Again, total political opportunism when it comes to immigration, while at the same time his deportation plan can be summed up in three words. Worse than Trump. In prison, you visited me. Ted Cruz told Hugh Hewitt the most violent felons are Democrats.
And he kept a guy in prison for 16 years for stealing a calculator from Walmart. Would normally, when he was Attorney General of Texas, he had a guy convicted for 16 years for what should have been a maximum 2-year sentence.
Good man.
And he was what only just caught out. Yeah.
Cruz can wave his so-called Christian First banner all he wants to, but his false flag, it's a false flag. Cruz is an opportunist, and Jesus said about such, they preach, but they do not practice.
Yeah.
Blue gal.
Don't
hit it out of the park.
They don't practice what they preach.
Absolutely. Now, now that we scraped off that from the bottom of our shoe,
I wear Blundies, so there's probably still some bits caught in there, unfortunately.
So let's go to yours, Brandy. Yeah. You have somebody from the Hillary campaign that you mentioned
this
earlier.
This week, as I said, we've got a situation where there's a debate coming up between Bernie and Hillary, because they're the only two seriously left in the Democratic campaign. But she, or her strategist, has come out and said, we won't debate Bernie again unless he changes his tone.
Debate
him. She's just going to tell, probably because his tone is the truth. Anyway, have a listen to this. This is her strategist, who probably is going to be fired any minute now for letting this cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
Telling this fact that they're not going to debate Bernie unless he changes his tone.
Yeah,
take it away.
Blow me. How about that tone? You like that? Blow me.
Yeah, take
it. Okay, here it is. Clinton being deaf and dumb to political realities again. Right here. This is Randy's tinfoil hat for show 143.
Sanders wants a debate here before the April primary. You going to agree to it?
I think, what was notable this weekend wasn't so much that, but in my mind was the Washington Post story with his own campaign talking about how they're poll testing more negative attacks on Hillary Clinton. They're talking about running harsher negatives now. We saw them run negative
ads.
Don't
distract here, Joel.
I think the real question is not whether we're going to debate. Because I think the real question is, what kind of campaign is Senator Sanders going to run going forward? He pumped $4 million in the weekend before March 15th. And he lost all five states on March 15th. They spent about $4 million running negative ads.
That doesn't have anything to do with the debate, though. Why not debate?
Let's see the tone. This is a man who said he'd never run a negative ad, ever. He's now running them. They're now planning to run more. Let's see the tone of the campaign he wants to run before we get to any other questions.
You guys, back in January, when there was this whole back and forth about debates, the Clinton campaign was open to more debates after that Flint debate was agreed to. Why not debate in New York?
Because we agreed to debates up to a certain point. We're now out campaigning in these states.
What's the risk?
There's no risk. She's done very well in the debates. The debates have been very good. But Senator Sanders doesn't get to decide when we debate, particularly when he's running a very negative campaign against us. Let's see if he goes back to the kind of tone he's going to set early on. If he does that, then we'll talk about debates. But we're not going to talk about it.
So no chance of a New York debate?
I didn't say that. I said we're not going to talk about it. We're going to see what kind of tone he sets. If his campaign wants to run the kind of negative campaign and run negative ads like they did in North Carolina, in Illinois, all over the country on March 15th, that's going to be disappointing to a lot of Democrats who feel we have to start focusing on Republicans, whether it's Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, and about our differences so we win in November.
Blow me. Just fucking blow me. You show me one Sanders ad that's an attack ad. It's not an attack ad. You show me one ad on Clinton that is a spurious attack or untrue. Go ahead, show it to me, because you can't. The only thing Bernie's been doing through this entire campaign is drawing attention to her record. And if you can't live with your fucking record, you can just blow me. I am absolutely sick. This is the side of the Clinton campaign that's really going to cost him if they get the nomination.
Yeah, but the point is, Bill, is if he says, I'm going to go against the Wall Street and the banks and all of that, they're not going to find they're going to be in my office. That's not negative against Hillary.
No.
But they're saying it is because she's supported by the banks.
No, but she doesn't want anybody to know. Look, I mean, the only thing Sanders has done, and I challenge you, if you are a Hillary supporter listening to this broadcast, please send to me a campaign ad by the Sanders campaign, not by some of the supporters. Some of the supporters are, you know, they can be real assholes. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like some of the people I know who work for Hillary have been harassed on the internet, and there's no excuse for that. But you point to me one ad that Bernie has put on television that isn't based.
That is a negative ad to Hillary Clinton.
Well, it can be. It can be. Listen, a negative attack ad is by its nature, if it's unfair, it's untrue. You show me one ad that Bernie's put on during this campaign season that's untrue. Whereas Hillary has again and again, he's been calling Bernie Sanders a misogynist.
And a gun lover,
even though he got a D-minus from the NRA. She has mischaracterized his viewpoints time and time again and willingly done it. She has conspired with the DNC to rig debates so that they were buried at the worst time for anybody to watch. And the only reason we got any other debates is because he did so well. So, by the way, this guy can just blow me downtown. And if you think that Sanders voters are going to be flocking to you in the end game with this kind of arrogance, you better fire this fucker right now. Because I wonder if he's going to be standing
in the next week. He certainly let the cat out. I wonder if he's going to be standing in a week's
time. If Hillary knows her business, and she should, she'll cut out the arrogant crap. You know, if you got something to say, Bernie has never called Clinton corrupt. He said, I respect her and I like her. But the truth is, when you
have... And
he's
come to her defense so many times.
When you have dinners being sold at $350,000 a pop with George Clooney, when you do two speeches in front of Goldman Sachs and you won't release the transcripts of what you said, that means that you have a constituency that you listen to a lot more than the people.
Than the people, yeah.
And if, I mean, go ahead, Randy. I'm sorry. No.
I'm glad you did, because that just shows that, but you know, in the end, we have to just wait and see what happens in July.
Well, at the end of July, I want this party to come together regardless who wins. I will be very, very disappointed if Bernie doesn't win. But you know what? I'm an adult. I can get over it. It's not going to be hard for me to vote against Trump or work against this fascist asshole. But listen, I'm telling you something, Hillary, if you're listening to the show, which I know you do.
She does.
Anyway, but Hillary, if you're listening to the show, fire this numbskull right fucking now.
And schedule a debate straight away.
Stop making the same mistakes that you've made in the past, and that is hubris, arrogance. You always thought Obama couldn't catch you. He caught you. And I'm telling you, man, there's still a chance that Bernie can catch you now, because the more you do $500,000 a plate fucking dinners, and instead of going out there with the people, you're going to meet a lot of resistance.
I hope there's a vegetarian option. For $500,000.
I like the fish and a salad.
Okay, Willie. Now to follow up on this,
what do you got?
I've got a suggestion. Actually, it's not my suggestion at all.
Yeah,
but I'm going to put it out there to our listeners.
Right.
Our friend Cenk Uygur from the TYT Network, has put out a piece saying, putting the suggestion out there that they conduct the next debate.
Oh yeah, that'll happen.
He's had Bernie on TYT.
Yeah, I saw it. It was a good interview.
Yeah. And somebody's floated a petition. I'll let Cenk tell you about it.
Sure.
Floated a petition to put TYT conducting the next debate in New York. So let's have a listen to Cenk Uygur from TYT telling us about this petition, which you'll find online on the TYT site.
Absolutely.
And he didn't put it up, but thousands and tens of thousands of people have signed it.
Yep.
Take it away, Cenk Uygur.
Cenk Uygur.
We have a new petition that another viewer has started, bless his heart. It is to get a debate on the Young Turks. Now, luckily, the DNC already has a debate scheduled in April, but they haven't announced yet who it's going to be with. I'm not saying anything except for what I'm saying right now. Okay, one of you guys already started a petition. Before I knew what happened, I got news of it today. 37,000 people have already signed it.
Jeez.
It's amazing, amazing, right? I don't know, can I see 50,000? Can I see 100,000? So the DNC has already scheduled approximately 1,000 debates and town halls on establishment media, on old media. And when I say old media, it's quite literal, right? So when you go on CNN, the average age of the audience there is 64 years old. MSNBC also 64 years old. Fox News is 68 years old. Well, how about they finally talk to online media?
Well, there's an easy answer for that, Randy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because they aren't progressives.
Well, no. Well, Bernie
would go. Hillary, I don't think that you're going to see that much enthusiasm. And there's a reason for that, because until recently, MSNBC and CNN have been treating her with deference as the presumptive nominee.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a great argument, isn't it? Because, I mean...
Well, it is. Listen, I mean, like, look at the figures he quoted for just having young Bernie on there a couple of days ago.
Hmm.
In the middle, 67 million people.
I know. And that's what the refreshing thing is. I mean, we do a podcast on the internet. And the internet, the reason people want to regulate the internet is because it scares the fuck out of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It scares the fuck out of
you. Suddenly, scare the fuck out of me.
Well, yes, I know. Well, don't go to those sites, Randy. But the thing is that you have had a corporate-owned media. Mm-hmm. But the corporate-owned media is losing its audience because they're dying. I talk to my kids all the time. They don't watch television.
No, they do not.
They watch YouTube. They watch streaming channels. And in 10 years, that's what it's going to be. And if these political candidates in the Democratic Party had any brains, they would actually say, yeah, okay, Cenk, let's do the debate at your place. And I think that Hillary would be benefited by that because...
Would she ever?
The mean voter for Hillary, she is losing that audience. It kind of views a little bit of the contempt that they have for the youth vote.
Yeah.
I say that simply because in 10 years network TV is going to be gone. It's going to be buried.
Absolutely.
If Hillary wants to appeal to these people, she should front up because she would do fine.
She would.
You know, I mean, she's a polished debater, and you know, I mean, she has some issues that are very appealing to. I mean, her viewpoints on relieving school debt aren't as massive as Bernie's, but you know something, they aren't bad. So
yes,
I mean, there are a lot of things that Hillary could be doing to really boost her numbers there. Again, I think she's tone deaf, Randy. The arrogance, the tone deafness. She's running a campaign that I think is really by the numbers.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I'm scared.
The
to
numbers
death of
that
her.
Were written. The numbers that were written in 2008.
Well, that's why I'm scared to death about her going up against Trump or Cruz.
Yeah.
Because I really don't think, you know, in my heart, as a former, I voted for Hillary in 2008 in the primaries.
Yeah.
I don't think she's that good a candidate. I think Bernie's a better candidate for this right now. But
yes.
if you want the support, Hillary, of these young people, you're going to have to go where they are and not ignore them.
Yeah. And that's
Sanders
and where they
doesn't
are.
Ignore them.
Where they are is on TYT and places like that.
Yes, on the net, you know, and you know, our show is one of thousands of podcasts out there that are doing political stuff, and they are getting play. TYT was nothing years ago. It was a back, you know, I mean, it was literally an old building in L.A. they did it out of.
Yeah, it's a major network now.
Now it's a major network. It is a major network, and it's only going to get stronger. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Go Jenk and the Young Turks. That's what we say at the Bill Show.
Yeah, I hope they. I hope this petition gets up. I don't think Debbie Wasserman Schnitz is going to pay any attention to it. But
yeah. Okay. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you gotta love her, man.
Yeah, she knows nothing.
Obama endorsed her the other day, and I—that's another time in which I just put my head in my hand and go, "Come on, man." But then again, he has the habit of doing something that aggravates the crap out of me. Then he goes to Cuba, and
Argentina.
I'm proud that he's my president again.
I've got to try to find that TV show, playing dominoes with the Cubans. I'm going to try to find that.
Well, listen, man, unless you got something else, I think that this ends the huge Uber show that is show 143 of the Bill Show. Any final comments?
Thanks, guys. Randy? Thanks, guys, for sticking around this long.
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing now. Listen, if you want to reach us, folks, you can, of course, reach us at thebillshow.net. Billshow.net, everything Bill Show in one place, or at expatprogressive.podbean.com, which, of course, is our home site. We're also available on Stitcher Radio, the place to go if you want a show.
That's
Stitcher
right.
Radio. And we have just been put as one of the leading progressive podcasts on Player FM.
Really?
Which is just fantastic. Yes.
Oh, I wonder why I was getting all those death threats. It's
so you can reach us on Player FM. Both of those available on apps. You can download it, or you can download the Podbean app and listen to every show.
Or iTunes has every show as well.
And iTunes as well. And we're on approximately every 14 days. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes. We really do appreciate the reviews and any comments that you send.
And if you want to leave us money in your will,
well, this is what we're going to be doing soon. Is that?
Well, you're kidding.
Absolutely true, Randy. Is that we've been doing this show since 2012, and we got to replace some equipment. So I will never charge for this show.
Well, you need a heart transplant. You need a heart transplant.
I will. Yeah. This is it. I will never charge for this show. But what we'll probably be doing is crowdfunding for.
It's not a bad idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Just we're not looking to make a profit, guys.
No.
We're just looking to pay for a new screen for the Bill Shows, the Palatial Bill Show Studios.
Yeah.
And a few new mics. So you'll go
and
see
the website and the web
thing.
And the website and the internet. And all those stuff
the
we
website,
have to do.
The internet, all those running costs. But listen, what
the
we're going to be doing is...
The strippers and the hookers.
There are no strippers, Randy. But what we're probably going to be doing is organizing a way in which
Ted Cruz's wife's putting herself out there.
Yeah, thanks. We're going to be organizing a way in which we can send you a little something to thank you for any of your donations. So be looking for the Bill Show crowdfunding button on our website at expatprogressive.podbean.com in the near future. And that's about it, Randy. Let's say goodbye to our pals.
Yeah, time to give them their meds and lock them up in a box. Yeah.
Okay,
bye, everybody.
Till we meet again. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Now it's time to feed them, give them their meds, and pack them away till next time. So long and good night from the Bill Show.